This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Discover Lafayette is recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. I'd also like to thank Lafayette Convention and Visitors Commission for its support of Discover Lafayette. For all of Lafayette's latest events, listing of restaurants, and holiday activities, please visit LafayetteTravel.com. And speaking of restaurants, today's guest is Michelle Ezel, owner of Tsunami, beloved for its fresh sushi, as well as its trendy and inviting atmosphere where you always have a good time. The first location of Tsunami opened in downtown Lafayette in 2000, with the second location in downtown Baton Rouge overlooking the Mississippi River in 2004, and recently the New Orleans location opened in the Pan American Center on Poydras in New Orleans. Sushi was not really well known in Louisiana when Michelle and her husband, Sean, began research in 1998 that would bring sushi into the mainstream in Lafayette. Today, Tsunami is going strong after 18 years in Lafayette, and in many ways, the restaurant anchors the downtown Lafayette restaurant scene. And I know, Michelle, you never really set out to open a traditional sushi bar. I've been looking forward to having you on the show and just let you tell your story. And we're going to get into some of your other activities, too.
Okie dokie.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here. And no, I did not. I probably one of the very few people in the world who didn't wait tables or bartend in, you know, high school or college to pay bills. I actually worked at Red Laurel's, which I know you've had him on. I worked at Red's as a lifeguard and swim instructor and front desk. So that was my gig. So the restaurant industry was completely unfamiliar to me, probably why I went into it, because I had no idea.
That's what I hear what from I was, other guests.
Had I waited tables just for a day in my life, I probably would have gone, yep, y'all can keep it. But no, I was working in radio, actually. I'd worked with the company now is Town Square Media, but I had been there for 5 years, from sales to production to operations, and I loved my job. Still do. I miss it. I still consider that my job. Sean and I went to see my sister Leah. In LA for New Year's Eve. I believe it was 1998 going into 1999. So it was that New Year's Eve. And we were with, you know, all of her LA friends at this great party, having a fantastic night. And then late night after the party, they all wanted to go eat sushi at some 24-hour sushi joint. Well, Sean and I were giddy, because we were going to eat sushi. And so to the regulars at the table, they were like, Check out this Cajun couple right here losing their mind. And so through conversation, we were like, you know, yeah, Louisiana has sushi, but to get really good sushi, you got to go really to New Orleans, which is 2 hours away from us. And so because I was at a table full of really open-minded creative thinkers, they were like, well, you should open one then if there isn't one.
You mean at that meal?
Literally at that meal. Yeah. And so, you know, the sake was flowing. So the conversation just kind of, I'm not even really sure what direction it went. I don't remember. But I remember thinking, whatever. And that was it. And then, I don't know, I guess a seed was planted. Because I'm not really a risk taker. Those that know me, your listeners are probably thinking, you know, that's crap because she opened a sushi bar. So she has to be a risk taker. But I'm not. So I don't know. I don't know what happened in me to make me even think that it was something that needed to be explored. But I did for about 6 or 8 months. I did R&D, which was painful then because it was a dial-up, so it took a long time to do any kind of R&D then.
What did you find though? What was it like in Louisiana? It was really just New Orleans was the only
Baton Rouge had one that I knew of. They may have had more, but they had one that I knew of, and it was okay. But we really used to my cousin Tara that I referenced earlier, who helped us create the logo and the name Tsunami, she and I worked together for a little while, and we would literally call into a restaurant in New Orleans to go, and we would drive to New Orleans.
Michelle.
Yeah, we would pick up like $300 worth of to-go sushi and drive back. We wouldn't eat it there. We'd come back to Lafayette.
Would you have taste testing to see what people
No, that
liked?
Was before we even, this is just when, I had no idea that sushi was on the radar at the time. No, that's what I'm saying. We liked it so much and we, you know, craved it and we wanted good sushi. Yeah. So we would drive to New Orleans, pick up sushi and drive back home. So anyway, that's really mm-hmm. how it happened. And my brother Damien was living, I think at the time he was living maybe in Miami. He was working in a harbor in Miami, so he had access to fresh fish and right. sushi bars everywhere. And so when we started kind of digging around, he was like, yeah, heck yeah. Y'all need to do that. I'm going to come home. We're all going to open it and do this together. So
he came home.
He came home, yeah, and he ran it for a couple years with
us.
Leah didn't come home when Lafayette opened.
Okay.
Leah came home when Baton Rouge okay. opened. She was in the record industry in mm-hmm. LA. And so by the time we were looking at kind of Baton Rouge opening, I think she sort of predicted that the record world was going to be changing. The digital kind of right. started to peek its head. Mm-hmm. And I think she saw and predicted that and was like, I need to maybe have a fallback plan.
Right.
And come home, you know, sushi. And we got a great sexy spot in Baton Rouge.
So that's the best.
That's yeah. when she came back to Louisiana.
So, okay, late 1998, early 99, this all happened really quickly. What was it like when you decided we're going to do it? We came up with the name, and then you needed to get financing. I've had other guests on that have talked about how tough it is in the restaurant yeah. business. How did you?
I mean, I get it. This? Look, it was very frustrating, and we did have to climb lots and lots of mountains. You know, nobody wanted to loan. One, females weren't really being loaned money. Mm-hmm. And females with zero restaurant industry background, you know, they're not really keen at throwing a whole bunch of money at people like that. Even Lita at the time, I don't remember the guy that we met with, but you know, it's one of the first places, our stopping places, mm-hmm. like, hey, we want to open a business. What does that look like? Help us out. Give us a packet. And I don't remember the guy, but he even thought we were crazy because mm-hmm. you have no restaurant industry. You know, you're not going to get money. And so anyway, it took us a long time.
But you didn't waver.
No. Kevin Caswell with at Bank of Sunset at the time mm-hmm. Helped us out. Jeff Benton yeah. with Capital Source, mm-hmm. Source Capital, which was SBA. And
you did do SBA, yep, small business.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Prejean.
Oh.
At some point, all three of them, it's all kind of foggy in my head now, but those brains, mm-hmm. I think, all helped us figure it out.
So you shook the bushes
to get it
and
done. Yeah,
got some funding.
Continuously.
Right.
Yeah.
But you didn't waver in your
conviction to do it. I don't know. I am usually one to go, okay, well, I'm out.
Uh-huh.
But I don't, there was just something there
yeah.
that just made me. But again, I just was opening a little sushi bar. That's why I thought it was so silly. No one would really listen. I'm like, it's going to be just a little sushi bar downtown. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that big of a deal. I'm not even going to leave my job. Sidebar. I didn't plan on leaving radio. I loved it. Loved that job. So I'm like, going to take 6 weeks off, get this little thing open mm-hmm. downtown, hire a manager. I'll see you on 6 weeks. So the joke is, they kept me on, my desk was still intact. I stayed on the phone list, blah, blah, blah. Well, I've been gone 18 years.
Oh.
I'm still on the phone list. It is an ongoing joke that they have not taken me off the phone list because they just keep waiting for me to wrap up the sabbatical
yeah.
and back to work.
Back to sales.
Exactly.
But you've been in sales that whole 18 years. I mean,
I guess,
selling the yeah. concept, selling the vibe. I mm-hmm. mean, when you walk in any of them, I think people just feel good. Did you bring yourself into that? Did you think, Michelle, you know, because you're so upbeat. I mean, you're
aww,
a natural
thanks.
Cheerleader. We've
yeah.
known each other
yeah.
through other venues besides work. And you, wherever you show up, it's fun.
Thank you.
Want that vibe?
Well, I can't take all the credit for that, for sure. This is where I'm going to have to say that my sister Leah has a very vibey, mm-hmm. we call her the Minister of Vibe.
Okay.
I mean, that's literally her nickname. So she definitely set the visual feeling mm-hmm. of the space.
The simplicity
and uh-huh. visually, you know, that she put it all together. And even the sounds, you know, because she was coming from the record industry. So she was like, this is the music. These are the sounds that you need to, our guests need to hear and whatnot. Math has never been my strong point. Not math. All of my math teachers are listening right now laughing at this, but I became kind of the business runner, you know, the mm-hmm. spreadsheet and the compliance and that kind of thing. I don't know why, because that's not really my thing, but she was
money.
Much better at picking yeah. out upholstery and colors mm-hmm. and like that's not never been my thing. I'm like, I don't care what color it is. So we kind of just both found our places. So she was kind of in charge of that. But then on the other side, I did all the hiring. So that mm-hmm. was a very important part of the process. You know, I always say it's the three P's. let me see if I can remember them. People, product, and process. That is what will make you successful.
And the people are
the people. So you, she designed a fantastic space, mm-hmm. but we had to have the right people that brought that vibe to life. You know, mm-hmm. you can't just give somebody an apron and say, go wait tables right. at a sushi bar in South Louisiana.
Right.
You have to hire some people that are a little eccentric and a little, you know, willing to put themselves out there. So
you had to learn a lot in a very short time.
Yeah. I just remember the whole, like, 6 months before we opened, I don't think I slept. I'd have all these nightmares that nobody would show up to work mm-hmm. and that I had to do it. And again, I didn't know anything about pouring a drink or mm-hmm. what is a vodka tonic or... I had all these nightmares that nobody showed up and I had to be the server, the bartender, the sushi chef, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you have to put it all together and hope that it works.
Right, mm-hmm. right. I'm curious about the hiring process. Like, I waited tables, and I can tell you, if you had hired me, I would not have lasted. You would have kicked me out the door.
Okay.
I think it's a tough job.
It is.
Keeping people happy.
It is.
Remembering who ordered what.
Multitasking.
You know, being attentive, yeah. but not mm-hmm. Hovering.
Yeah.
What was it like when you first opened? Did it? It seems like it went smoothly. I just remember having a fun time there. Was it? Do you remember those days?
No, it really is a huge blur.
It's a blur.
I know that. I think we had like a week's worth of soft openings, mm-hmm. and this sticks out. My sister-in-law Ashley Seymour, she had been in the restaurant industry. She had waited tables and bartended for a long time. So she came to our soft openings to help us, you know, work out the kinks. And so at the end of the night, she comes up to me. She goes, "Well, who is expoing for you guys?" And I said, "What's an expo?" She was like, "You know, basically the quarterback of the kitchen. Like, who is in charge of the tickets that come in, and you know, getting them out to the right stations and making sure the food all comes out." I said, "We don't have one of those." She was like, "Okay, well, I'll help you out for a couple nights, and I'll show you what that is, mm-hmm. and then we'll hire one." Well, she ended up staying for, I think, a year and a half in that role, which moved into general manager, you know, from that point. But
Thank God.
Had no idea. She was laughing at me that night going, "What do you mean? You're opening a restaurant in 3 days. You don't have an expediter?" Nope. Didn't know I needed one of those.
I think God did some intervening here.
Yes.
Really, between the concept, timing. The location, mm-hmm. downtown Lafayette.
I mean, now that wasn't even we wanted to be downtown. Again, I don't know if it was on purpose or accidental, but I knew that the food was going to have an architectural and artistry to it. And mm-hmm. we knew that was going to be, so where else but in, you know, a downtown area that just kind of is gutsy, vibey. I don't know if that was the reason or if I was trying to hide from the mainstream just in case I messed up, no one would see it. Like if I was on Ambassador Caffrey,
everybody
then you
would
expose
know you closed.
Yourself to how stupid you are. But if you're hiding in the corner of a closet, mm-hmm. then no one really knows if you mess up. So I don't know which reason why we went downtown, but we were very happy. And actually our first place that we even had a contract on was what is now City Bar.
Oh.
That was the building we wanted. That was the space we wanted. We even had plans drawn up for that space. Mm-hmm. And then the owner of the building at the time backed out on us at the last meeting. And we had to go find... Because, again, we were looking for a small space.
To purchase or rent?
We were going to purchase it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we ended up with the space we ended up with, which was a lot bigger than we mm-hmm. wanted. And I was really freaked out about that because it was like, now it was a restaurant. I'm like, right. Whoa, we were just going to open a little sushi bar with like... Mm-hmm. 5 seats at the bar and like 10 seats at the sushi bar and maybe 5 tables. But again, I guess that's serendipitous. Something just kept pushing it in the right direction because we ended up with the space we needed. But I was freaked out about that space. It was too big for me. Yeah.
It's a lot of overhead mm-hmm. to start out.
It was scary.
Now, you also own property around that. Was that all part of the initial purchase?
No, it wasn't. The parking lot came maybe within the year. We mm-hmm. realized that we needed parking for staff and a place to put a dumpster, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. also we didn't think all that through. And so, yeah, we bought that parking lot within the year.
And then the land right around it. You've got the Buchanan...
We bought that years later. Yeah, okay.
That just came up on the market.
That was empty for a while, uh-huh. and then it was Club 410 for a while. It may have been an iteration of a few other things mm-hmm. before we bought it,
right.
yeah.
But that's great to mm-hmm. have that. I mean, mm-hmm. in case you do want to expand other concepts.
That's funny, Jan. That won't be happening.
You think?
I'm 49. I'm done with expanding things.
I heard another interview you and Aileen Bennett did on Out to Lunch. I want to give a shout out to her. It's a great interview and a great podcast. But I heard her asking, would you be doing, you know, would you be expanding in other towns? And you said no, but no, ma'am. You also said never say never.
I did say that.
You may be, you know, that.
Wait, when was that interview? It depends on what's happened between then and now. No, it's just hard work. You know, it's really hard work.
On the road.
On the road a lot. And that the road doesn't bother me as much as just, I want everything to be right, and I want every experience a customer has to be perfect, and I want every employee to feel empowered, and I want every employee to feel like I've given them the resources they need, and I feel the more that I've grown, I may not be doing all of that justice. That may just be me beating myself up, but I lay in bed thinking of ideas for this, for the sushi chefs to have these in-services where they each teach each other things. Mm-hmm. And I bring in a chef from another market to come and spend a day in Lafayette, a day in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And that may be something we do, but life gets in the way. Like, I have all these great ideas of things I want to implement. Sake tastings for customers, you know, just come in Thursday for an hour. We're going to have sake reps that come and... But life gets in the way, and I don't get to implement the things I want to implement. So I just feel like I'm doing the whole process a disservice. That's my own self beating my own self up. But
I've heard this from other restaurateurs, though. I know Charlie Goodson had, you know, opened out of state even, and he said it was just tough to keep the focus on what he wanted.
Yeah.
And so it's,
Charlie
it's an
told
adventure.
Me actually one of my favorite things I can remember. Charlie Goodson told me is when we were talking about growth years ago. We were talking about growth and expansion. He and I, and he said, never open a restaurant to where you can't get there and fire someone and get back in the same day. I was like, I will put that in my vault. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in a good 2-hour window where I can get somewhere, fire him, and get home for supper. So
God,
we're good.
It's comforting.
But it's real. I mean, he had one in Destin, I think. And that was, that's a haul.
It was a tough.
That's very, very hard.
Gig,
yeah. So. Kudos to him for doing that, for anyone who does that. But
I looked on your Facebook for the Baton Rouge location. I have to say, I guess because I grew up in Baton Rouge, love Lafayette, but there's something iconic about that view, to see the Mississippi River Bridge, to be up on at the top of the Shaw Building at Tsunami's outdoor bar. And I saw that you were having exercise classes sponsored by Absolute Vodka.
We've actually done it. Tread VR and Absolute, I think, were the ones that partnered on that one. It works out fine. They work out and they get their cocktail after. Mm-hmm. And then we've also done stuff with Yoga Bliss and I think maybe Abita Beer. I didn't remember. Or maybe just everyone was buying Abita Beers. But they would do yoga for an hour and then we have a bar set up and they'd all sip their beers afterwards. Right. It's cute.
It looks like fun, too.
It is fun, yeah.
Well, I have a couple of questions. I am friends with Michael Dumit.
Love him.
And I've met Senator John Breaux. How did those names come about? Is it something that they asked you to make up on the menu, their own role, or did they just like it?
No, not at all. Let's see. Michael Dumit, so that whole year we were under construction, we had a sushi chef that had heard about us. The one sushi bar in Baton Rouge I was talking about earlier, he was working there, and he got rumor that we were looking, that some people were looking to open a restaurant in Lafayette. So he hunted us down and said, hey, I want to come work for y'all. You know, I got the goods. I got the knowledge. Bring it on. And so he did. And he's still with us today. Yeah. And so he came and opened. Well, we didn't have a storefront. We didn't have, you know, a way of really promoting ourselves at that point. So we did festivals a lot. We'd set up tents at festivals. And well, Michael Dumit, both Leah, my sister, and Sean, my husband, worked for him in their catering, for doing catering for him, Mardi Gras balls and whatnot. So he started hiring us to do sushi at his events. So we would send Chef Ricky to his, and people just loved it. It was unique. No one else was doing it. They were like, wait, I mean, you go to all these things, you're getting, you know, Oysters Rockefeller, and you're getting the little crawfish etouffee and the little bread bowl and whatever. So those are just standard things that you know you're going to get at all these Louisiana events. And all of a sudden there's a sushi table and people were losing their mind. So Michael hired us a lot and he really helped us for that ramp up, those teasers and that marketing. So that's how he got on the menu, because we really appreciated the business he gave us. John Breaux, my sister was a page for him. Well, he was a family friend, first of all. My parents knew he and his family growing up. And then my sister was a page for him in D.C., I believe, for a summer, maybe. And so just got to be good friends. And, you know, and he represented Louisiana. I'm going to paint with a broad stroke here. Nobody get offended. He was one of the few Louisiana politicians that didn't make us look completely stupid back then, you know?
And he represented not only our state, but this region.
This region.
Well.
Yeah. He represented us, just a family man, good guy. He put Louisiana first all the time. And so we thought that was important to give him a part of. And so in his role, it is the crawfish.
Okay.
It's a sauteed crawfish because, again, that very much represents our region. And so we gave him that one. And then Father Kyle, you didn't ask about, but that's the other one that's named, is he was our priest growing up. We grew up at the Holy Cross Parish in Broadmoor Subdivision.
Yeah.
And so, well, you know, almost all of us did catechism with him and CCD classes and you know.
What's in his role? What do you have in there?
His role is a lot of fresh fish. It's not fried. It's kind of, you get what you get. And that's Father Kale. You know, it has fresh elements of fish without a lot of sauces and without anything fried in it. You're just like, it's all real and it's all raw. And that's Father Kale. If you know him, that's Father Kale.
You must dream about sushi or sashimi. I don't know if we use sushi loosely, but I mean, I know that this must be just from the time you go to, you know, get up in the morning to brush your teeth at night. And
yeah, someone asked me one time, how many hours a week do you work? And I was like, you can't ask me that question.
Because it's always
like, are
always
you, do you mean about under roof of a restaurant or just, you know, sitting at my island or laying in bed thinking of ideas or...
Right.
My poor staff, I'm always texting them. We have a group me that I'm always firing off different... what about this? What about this? What do you think about this? I'm sure they shake their head.
They just turn you off.
Go to bed. I bet they do. Turn off notifications when it comes from Michelle.
Well, I know personally that you've been busy in other things. You've not only you and Sean have raised three daughters. I know you're have been very active at the Academy of the Sacred Heart, which
yes,
is
ma'am.
Where we met.
Yeah.
And I really look back with just such fond memories.
Yeah.
Michelle, working on auctions together. And
yeah, those were fun.
And we've all stayed friends. I mean, that's a family at the Academy.
Yeah.
So I want to give a shout out for your service and
Thank you.
The school, for what they've done.
Thank
Five
you.
Goals have really touched all of our lives. And also, we served on the Chamber of Commerce board together. And so it was always fun.
We did. I don't know what I was doing there. I was way out of my league. There was a bunch of...
I don't think so. I think you fit right in.
There was a bunch of really, really smart suits in that room.
There were a bunch suits in particular.
Yeah, I was like, what am I doing in this room?
A couple of us,
Am I being pranked? Are they being pranked? I'm not sure. But it was really...
I learned a lot.
I learned a lot, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was very happy to be part of that group.
Good way to network.
Yes.
And then I want to bring in, you served for a short time as a councilwoman for
District 6.
Yes, I did. So tell me about that. What was it like?
It was really great. I would never run for office as you have done.
Yes.
I just don't think I could. Although I have maybe a strong exterior, but I think I'm also sensitive. You know, when that door closes, I'm like, why'd they say that to me?
Or why did I say that? You know?
Exactly. Why did I say that? That was so stupid. Rewind. So I was very, very lucky that I was able to serve in office without having to run in office.
You were appointed. Did Bruce go?
Bruce Conk? Went to the chamber.
Yeah.
And so his seat was open. Mm-hmm. And so you had to throw your name in the hat. And so a couple of us did. And there may be four or five of us. Mm-hmm. And the council interviewed us, and then the council had to vote, and I think it was between me and somebody else, and I can't remember who. Yeah. Was it Judy?
I don't remember.
Maybe. Kennedy? There were two of us. I can't remember who the other one was. And then when it was a tie, it goes to the governor, and then the governor has to select who is appointed into the position.
Yeah.
So.
I bet that was a good experience, though, to appreciate what goes into running local government.
It is. And I guess the one thing I learned more than anything, and it's very true, and I think in any capacity, is that you're never going to make everybody happy. So, you know, you can have half of your constituents that are thrilled about the, you know, I was there when they changed the waste management days. That was when they used to come, I think, did they come every day and then it went down to 2 days?
I don't know.
Yeah.
People flip out.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. That was me. And then we also got the big cans. That was a detriment to my older constituents who I'd have to go out and help show them how to get it to the curb and whatnot. So I was there for that. And so, yeah, some people were thrilled and loved it and others hated it. So that's the one thing I learned is you're never going to make anyone happy from a constituency as well as from a
broader
council people. You know, you'll have
internal.
It just a constant, you do something for me, I'll do something for you. I said, how about we just do something for Lafayette? Like, why does it have to be a you know, I'll vote for your thing if you vote for my thing. I'm like, well, what if I think your thing isn't good for the city or the parish? Like, I just
Well, I've learned that there are public servants and there are politicians.
Yes.
And it takes, you know, it's a lot of give and take. Mm-hmm. And So but I'm glad you could do that.
I met some also really cool people, whether I always agreed with them or not. I did meet some really cool people and admire the time, because you don't get paid very much, like $20,000 a year or something like that.
And that's a 24/7 position.
It's a lot. It is a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. If you're going to do it right, how about that? You know, my husband would laugh because you get this binder. It's like the 4-inch binder. Every week you get this big 4-inch binder, and you
all
have to go through everything that's going to be at that Tuesday meeting. Mm-hmm. So I'm laying in bed reading, and he goes, "Are you really reading all that?" I was like, "Well, if I'm going to vote on it, if someone's going to call me out, or if it's someone's home that's being adjudicated, I mean, I need to know what, when, where, why, and how." I would drive by houses that were going to be adjudicated in the neighborhoods and check them out and see what's going on. So it's all the time. It's not just show up on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it right, some people do just show up at 5:30 on Tuesday night.
Well, the issues have changed a little bit lately from what,
Look, LUS zoning is calling me right now. They're telling me, shut up. Put them on speakerphone.
We thought we paid you not to say that.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it is full time. And if you want to do it right, you have to do the work. You have to put in the work.
Right.
And be willing to take it on the chin. If someone calls and screams and yells at you, you got to just listen to
you
it.
You do. You really do.
You do.
Well, thank you for that service.
Yeah.
And that was a good time. It was a good time watching you, because you were the first woman, I think, on the
consolidated,
yeah, consolidated government.
Correct.
So you kind of broke down some barriers for
others. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Well, any advice that you can share, whether it's being a mother, opening a business, growing a business, being in the community, any advice, like you said, you're 49, which is still so young, Michelle, but anything you might even tell your younger self, you know, the 18-year
younger self. I talk about the needle a lot. Anytime anybody asks me, I talk about this proverbial needle that needs to stay balanced. And it's very, very difficult. It's like an accelerator. You know, you have a marriage, you have kids, which are the same but different. You know, marriage is one thing. A wife, a mother is another role in the same house, you know, two roles. Mm-hmm. And then you have a business, and then what turns into two businesses, what turns into three businesses. And then you have this itching obligation to service, you know, of your community, either your kid's school or your neighborhood or your community. And then you try to put in some hobbies and some things for yourself in there, which usually is just a little tiny sliver. Oh, and then friends. You want to spend time with your friends, because that's very important to self-awareness and self-health. It's hard.
Sleep.
You just have to...
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I keep a ridiculous calendar, and sometimes if people walk by me and my laptop's open and you can see my Google Calendar, it's freaking littered with rainbow colors, because everything represents something. And I try to look at it and go, okay, I'm going to be in New Orleans these 2 days, which means I need to be in Lafayette this day and this day, but I need to go to my daughter's volleyball game this day and this day. And Sean and I have started to do things we call Mondate. We go on a date every Monday night. So you just have to lay it out and plan it. So
do you plan for yourself? Do you put in time for exercise, or
no?
You just kind of look at it, and because I know you stay active. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. No. I broke down the gallery after a party this morning, and I was sweating. Did that count?
It's a workout.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, sure.
Then I did.
Yep.
I loaded up a bunch of tables and chairs, and I was sweating, so I'm going to count that.
I think that counts for the day, so your doctor will be happy about
that. I'm
going
to count that.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, we're in the studio with one of your friends, Jason Sikora, works with Raider Solutions.
So good to see you again.
I know. It was a sweet surprise.
I have a few questions, but I want to start with a few comments.
Okay.
I worked as a roadie, obviously, before this, as you know. I worked for the Goo Goo Dolls for 5 years, and I had to tell them I was going to leave the organization and move to Lafayette, Louisiana, and stop being a roadie. And the first thing John Resnick said was, there's this amazing place called Tsunami in Lafayette that has the best sushi in the world.
Thanks, Johnny.
Go there right when you get there. So before I even knew about Lafayette, I knew about Tsunami.
That's cool.
Thanks to
that
the Goo Goo Dolls.
That's cool. We have a similar relationship with John Mayer, where whenever he's touring either in Lafayette or New Orleans, last year he did, he calls in a to-go order every time.
Nice.
It's all sashimi. Yeah.
Excellent. Raider Solutions, we've done parties at your place. The ribeye.
Yes.
Jody sat at that ribeye table for 45 minutes and gorged herself on ribeye. And so now
it's
her
good.
Favorite. So it's not just sushi.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot of other great meals that people might not explore that need to be explored. It's probably her favorite ribeye in Lafayette.
It's a big hunk of meat.
It is, and it is delicious.
Thank you.
The big crab is one of my one of my new favorites.
Yep.
Where did the Zach special come from?
Brother-in-law. Sean's brother, Zach, waited tables for us for many years. And although he's not a very big sushi eater, he would eat mostly food from the grill line you're talking about. But he and some chefs, you know, in between lunch and dinner, I think one day when it was slow, he fashioned himself as a good cook. So he would hop in the kitchen and start, you know, getting crazy with the chefs. And I think that he was just like, you know what would be good if we take this and that and then fry it and then do this and that. And it was his role. And I think he started making it maybe for staff at first, and then they started eating it, and then the staff would recommend it to tables. And that's usually the lifeline of how a role makes it out of the
kitchen. It's a very unique role. It's unlike anything else on the menu.
Yes, yes.
So that's another good go-to.
That's one of the ones where I would loosely call it sushi, you know?
Yeah.
It's sushi.
It's a roll.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. What's your favorite dish, or one of your favorites?
I love the Green Monster.
Okay.
I love the Green Monster because it is like sweet and savory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coconut shrimp, cream cheese, and then when it's topped with the kiwi and avocado and strawberries with the plum sauce. I've never been to Hawaii, but I keep thinking that that's what it tastes like.
Okay.
That's what Hawaii tastes like.
That might be.
If Hawaii had a flavor, I think it would be the Green
Maybe
Monster.
Maybe that's the fourth location, huh?
No. Well, hold on. I said never say never.
Right. Do you guys still do classes?
We do. We have one coming up October 27th, next Saturday. Chef Hung, who is one of our dynamic personality chefs, is doing one at noon on Saturday, October 27th.
And what does that entail?
It's $50, and you get to roll your own roll. Well, first of all, you're going to learn how to roll, I think, a California roll, and I think you also do a hand roll, and then you get to roll your own roll. You get to go into the sushi bar and kind of create whatever you want. You're going to leave with a packet of information. We call it like Sushi 101, and it'll give you a little bit of history about sushi, and it'll give you a couple of ingredients, how to make sushi rice, how to make tempura ice cream, which we don't do anymore, but it's a traditional Japanese dessert. And then you're going to leave with a rolling mat, bamboo mat of your own to do at your house. And you're going to get some aluminum chopsticks, you know, reusable chopsticks to take home with you. And so it's lots of fun.
That does sound like fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun. I always tell people, I think it's a good idea for like a first date, which is always so awkward and odd. You know, what are you going to do? So if someone's been like eyeing somebody at the office or somebody at school, this would be a fun, you know, first date. It's $50 a person. That's a $100 first date. And then you get a couple, you know, if you want to open a tab and get some cocktails, it loosens everybody up. But everyone always enjoys it. It's a fun time.
Excellent. And then I just wanted to plug again, you guys do host events, if it's company parties, things like that.
Yes, we are gearing up right now, actually. I have been shooting my own videos.
Oh, really?
You do?
That's great. I do. Don't listen. So when they come, I have to say that. So when they come out, you don't go, who did they pay to do that video? Nobody. Anyway, yes, holiday season is really big for us because we have the gallery space in the back, and then we have the lounge dining room that is, coordinates with the gallery. And then we have the mezzanine above the bar area. So those three places get rented out a lot during the holidays. And then we have actually a loft above the restaurant as well, like a short-term, long-term rental loft.
Oh, really?
That people will also rent for the night to have like there's a doctor in town that does it every year. He has his staff up there and we cater it. And it's kind of their own space to, you know, leisurely enjoy their evening and not mess up their own kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a full apartment.
Yeah.
So we do. We have a lot of space. And we're, like I said, we're gearing up. The phone calls are starting to come in and the calendar's starting to have
holidays
all over it.
And graduations.
Yes.
I think that's, we were there for our girls.
Yeah.
Graduations.
Yeah. But I think, I like that you said that about people think, sushi, I don't eat raw fish. But sushi is, first of all, so much more than that. But we do have a full grilled menu of chicken, salmon, pork. Yeah, so there's plenty of other things, grilled foods.
Yeah.
And we're doing fried rice now, too.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
What is the, is it bento?
The bento box at lunch.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's like plenty. Bento box is basically a Japanese lunch box. And you get a little portion of part of a roll, a lunch portion of an entree. You have like, I think, four or five choices of each to kind of build it together.
I love
and then
that.
You have a little Tsunamomo salad and some fruit. It's nice, yeah.
Awesome. Finally, I have to ask, hardest part of your job and your favorite part of your job?
Hardest part of my job is the hours.
Oh, that makes sense.
The hardest part really is the hours. 8 to 5 is great because you just scoot out, you know, you're like 8 o'clock, ding. However, I will say the caveat to that is that having lunch and dinner hours also helps me with scheduling, because if there's something that I want to do with my kids during the day, I know that I have the option of, okay, well, I didn't go to the restaurant at all today because I was out at school at mother-daughter day.
Yep.
Well, boom, I can roll in at night. But, you know, again, so it's the devil's in the details. Hours are brutal. It's the weekends. But I always tell people Fridays are our Monday. You know, everyone else is getting off. We're just winding up.
Right.
Most successful or most rewarding is just the fact that there are people eating sushi in Lafayette, Louisiana. And then, you know, then in Baton Rouge, people have always been eating it in New Orleans. But that there's kids in this market now that don't know a life without it. Mm-hmm. As opposed to us, you know, Jane and I didn't know.
No. Mm-hmm.
We didn't have sushi growing up. I didn't eat sushi till I was out of college. I don't even think I ate it in college.
I thought it was all raw, too.
Me too. So that's just really cool that because we've been open 18 years in Lafayette. So their kids, let's call it, they were 3, 4, 5 years old when their parents first brought them.
Makes sense, yeah.
And now they're in their 20s and they don't know a life without sushi. And that's just really cool. And especially when some of these kids go away to college, let's call it. Well, 20 years ago, when people went away to college and then everybody, they'd go, you know, San Diego State and everybody go eat sushi. And there's this little Louisiana kid probably getting made fun of, bullied, because they're like, sushi, what's that? Well, that's not happening anymore. Bye, doggit. But anyway, I just think that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You've saved our culture. Thank
you, Michelle. I don't know about all that.
Oh, God. I was looking at your notes. Thank you for bringing notes, being prepared. The girls, Taylor and Kelly, wanted me to ask you a question. How has technology changed things? And I'm thinking of Waiter. I'm sure it's changed the open table, all these different ways people can make reservations.
Yes.
But is that something you can touch on briefly? Has that made a big difference in your bottom
line? It absolutely has. And there's a cost to all of it. And, you know, whenever, because I do all of our accounting. And so whenever I'm coding all those expenses during the month, I code them all to one utilities customer service, let's call it. And if you look at it throughout the years, it's gotten bigger and bigger because of things like OpenTable and Waiter and what's some other things, but a fishbowl doing email marketing and things like that. And when I try to think, you know what, let's scale back. I don't know which one I would get rid of because they all have an integral part of the success of the whole program.
You think more people stay home now and just call Waiter, or has it affected your crowd size?
No, it hasn't actually. It's been very successful in Lafayette. Mm-hmm. It's been a little bit slower in Baton Rouge, and New Orleans hasn't quite gotten the Waiter bug yet. Mm-hmm. They were one of the last groups to show up there for as far as food delivery, right. So they're trying to wedge their way. But in Lafayette, it's been very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, like I said, there's a fee, but you know,
right.
I'd rather kind of pay it so that we continue to put our product in people's houses than
keep them loyal.
Exactly, keep them loyal. But that's the other thing. Speaking of rewarding parts of our job, from the customer base, it's cool because people are eating sushi. But from a business owner's perspective, it's really cool to watch the staff that we've been able to provide a livelihood for. Mm-hmm. Selling sushi, which is crazy, you know, which was this little tiny idea. But we have staff that have been with us since we've opened.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we have a handful of staff that have never left. Mm-hmm. And even those are long term, but we've had some that have been even 8, 10, 12 years. They've bought houses. Their kids are, you know, they're paying for their kids to go to school, buying cars. And that's very rewarding to myself.
Right.
And I have two minority partners now, too, Fred Nanato and Tune to Win, for us to watch what we call like our kids, you know, to watch them grow up and become adults and buy houses and buy cars. And like, we're helping them. Not only we're helping them, but Lafayette's helping them because they support the restaurant.
Right.
So
congratulations.
Thank you.
On such a success. And you've earned it. You've worked hard. And I think our community is so much better having Tsunami here and having the Ezel family here.
Thank you.
Michelle.
Thank you. We definitely, this is home.
Yeah.
This is home.
Yep. Well, Jason Sikora, thank you for taping us today.
Yeah,
Michelle
you.
Ezel, owner of Tsunami here in Baton Rouge and New Orleans. Thank you for joining us. And I want to thank our listeners for your support. You can access this interview not only online at discoverlafayette.net, but on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast. It helps us stay around, and rate and review. We'd appreciate your comments. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift.